All right, well, check it out. We are starting a new series this month, and we are calling it You Can If You Want To. All right, so let's go ahead and have a little bit of fun right here at the top. And why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you can if you want to. You got to get a little enthusiastic about it. You got to get a little vibrant about it. You got to get out of yourself a little bit. You got to kind of sit up straight and look at your neighbor one more time and say, you can if you want to. All right, I don't know about this. Let me have everybody stand to their feet. Pastor Joe, are you serious? Come on, everybody stand to your feet. I want you to find two or three other people that you didn't come with tonight, and I want you to tell them, you can if you want to. Thank you, brother. You can, brother, if you want to. You can, sister, if you want to. Amen. You can if you want to. You can if you want to. Now, so what we're going to do, this is going to be a little bit different, because what we're going to do is each week throughout this month, we're going to insert a word after the word can. Okay, now this is not getting too confusing for y'all, but you can if you want to. We're going to insert a word after can. So the title of tonight's message is You Can Come If You Want To. Okay, you can come if you want to. And if you brought your Bibles, let's go ahead and begin in Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. You can come if you want to. Here in Exodus, as you're turning there, Exodus is the second book in the Bible, in case you were wondering. And no shame if you were. No shame if you were. We all started somewhere. I've been preaching before. I'm like, everybody turn to Genesis. And I've seen people turn to the table of contents and start looking at it. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, no shame. No shame. You got to start somewhere. Everybody started there, all right? So don't pretend like you all smart and spiritual and, ha, 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 I know where Genesis is. Yeah, you haven't done nothing in your life. No, I'm just kidding. All right, anyway. All right, sorry. I better calm down. All right. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. I'm going to read to you a couple of stories of the life of Moses. And so right here in verse number 1, this is what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, let me take you and read you one more story. I think it's a really cool one. They're in the same book. Let's go to chapter number 33. This is another one of Moses' encounters with God. And in chapter number 33, verse number 18, Exodus chapter 33, verse number 18, it says this, and he said, please show me your glory, Moses said to God. Then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, I don't know about you, but these to me are some pretty cool encounters with God. I mean, talk about a God encounter, talk about a God experience. Here we have a man going and meeting with God and talking to him, if you will, face to face. And what's so cool about the life of Moses is that the first story that we read there in Exodus chapter 3 is the very first time Moses encountered God. And from that time until the very end of his life, Moses kept on having encounter, after experience with God. In fact, I kind of laugh because when I look at the end of his life, to me it's kind of funny. Moses dies, right? And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord came down to take care of the body of Moses, and the devil showed up and was like, "I want it." And he's like, "The Lord rebuke you," and he took it. Now, why there was a fight over the dead body of Moses, I have no idea, all right? But I just find it kind of funny. But I say all that to say to you today that Moses had God encounter after God encounter after God encounter. And there in that first story, we see that Moses sees a burning bush. And the Bible says that he turns aside to go see what this burning bush is all about, because after all, it's burning and it's not being consumed. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, the Lord called out to Moses by name. I think that's really cool. And you know what I find? I find that in the New Testament as Christians, that we should be familiar with the voice of God. And that, you know what, that God wants to speak to each and every one of us quite often. God wants to speak to you and I. I find it interesting that Jesus comes along and in John chapter 10 and he says this, he makes a statement that, you know what, my sheep, they know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Implying to me that, hey, there's some familiarity there between God and his church, between Jesus and his children, between Jesus and his followers. And so maybe tonight let me ask you, when's the last time you heard God speak to you? When's the last? Can you remember? Do you remember what he said? Because my God is passionate about speaking to you. And I'm here to tell you today that there's nothing like hearing God's voice. And there's nothing like hearing him call you by name. And there's nothing like finding out what God has for you. Moses got to experience that. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that Moses comes along, and as he's approaching God, God says, "Moses, I want you to take off your shoes because the ground on which you walk is holy." Listen, Moses, I know that you've been a lot of places. I know that you were raised as the prince of Egypt. I know that you've stood next to the most prestigious, the most powerful, I mean, the most popular. You wore the best, you ate the best, but see, this encounter that you're about to have, it's like no other encounter you've ever had before. In fact, this encounter is on a whole nother level, brother, so you better take off your shoes because the ground on which you walk is holy. In fact, this is not just on a whole nother level. This is like multiple levels above anything that you've ever experienced. And I say all that to say to you that I find Moses experiencing the greatness of God. The greatness of God. So Moses comes along and he hears God speak to him. How cool is that? Right? I think that's super cool. Some of you are looking at me like, I think that's it. Then Moses gets to experience God's greatness. And I'm here to tell you today that, you know what, this generation needs a revelation of the greatness of their God. There's just something that happens to somebody's life when they realize that God is high and lifted up, that there is nobody like him, that there's nobody as powerful as him, that there is nobody as mighty as him, that there is nobody awesome as him. I remember in my elementary school class singing a song, "My God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. My God is an awesome God." And it will change your, when all of a sudden, when you realize the awesomeness of God, your life will be changed in so many ways, we can't even begin to talk about it. I find it interesting that men in the Bible, and we're talking about mighty men of God, when they came before God and his glory, they would fall down on their face. I'm undone. God, you have to get away from me. God, I realize I'm a sinful man. I thought I had it going on, but God, when I see you, God, there's just something about your greatness. I never thought this to be possible. John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation. John walked with Jesus. John saw Jesus face to face, but not in his glory. But then all of a sudden, on the island of Patmos, he had a vision, and he saw Jesus Christ in his glory. And the Bible says that his face shone like the sun, his eyes were like fire, and he fell down as a dead man before him because he realized the greatness of God. You serve a great God. You serve an awesome God. And all of a sudden it puts us in this place where we all of a sudden we come into a reverence that we didn't have before. And as you look at the Word of God, the Bible tells us that if you're going to really approach God, you're going to have the reverence first. And once you get this reverence, man, it will boost your confidence. It will get you where you need to be with God. And listen, it doesn't matter what comes across your life. You'll know that, hey, my God, He's great. And greatly to be praised. And then finally, what do we see happen in this first story? I'm referencing this first story. We see that God begins to reveal Himself to Moses. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. And you know what's so cool is, again, like I said, Moses, after this first encounter, he kept on having these awesome encounters with God, seeing the glory of God. And as each encounter went by, you know, there I read you that second story, and just before that second story, I hope you guys can follow me, that just before that second story, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Anybody here seen the movie Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? Anybody? That's a pretty cool movie. You got to go see it, all right? It might pale in comparison to Noah, but I'm here to tell you it's a lot more scriptural than Noah. Yeah, So after each encounter that Moses had with God, he got closer to God. And you know what? Moses had an intimate, personal relationship with the maker of the universe. You know what? God wants to have an intimate, personal relationship with you. In Psalms, the Bible records this, that it says the children of Israel knew God's acts. A-C-T-S, not the book of Acts, but His deeds, in other words. They knew His acts. You talk to a Hebrew person, they could tell you about the plagues in Egypt, how God delivered them, right? They could tell you about how God preserved them and that last plague, He killed all the firstborn of Egypt to deliver them. They could tell you about how God split the sea. We saw it. It stood up like two walls, like just frozen, and we walked across on dry ground. Ground. They could tell you about how manna rained down from heaven. They could tell you about all God's acts. But you know what the Bible says right after that in Psalms? I believe it's 103. But Moses knew His ways. I don't know about you, but I don't want to know about God. I want to know Him. I don't want to live my whole life telling Dr. Barron stories. I want to have some stories of my own. I want to see some miracles. I want to hear God speak to me. I want to be able to look at somebody and when they come to me and they say, hey, this is going on in my life, I want to know enough about God and enough about His ways that I can help them. In fact, for my own life, I want to know enough about Him that when stuff arises, I know what I'm supposed to do instead of, well, I wonder what Pastor Jim would do. I wonder what Pastor Luke would do. I wonder what Pastor Joe would do. I don't know what they would do if we just knew God. If we just knew God. And Moses had this kind of a life that he, and what's funny is if you read these stories, all right, if you read these stories about Moses and really I guess you could say all the men and women of God throughout the Word of God, and you read them with a surface level understanding, you could begin to feel like, man, that must have been really cool that Moses had this inside with God. I mean, if you look at these stories, we didn't read very far into any of them, but you'll find over and over that, right? So Moses had what I call a lot of mountaintop experiences with God. The first story I read you, he climbed a mountain. The second story I read you, he was up on a mountain. He was just up on a mountain all the time. Brother was a mountain man, I guess, all right? But then there's also times where, so you have the children of Israel in their camp, and the Bible says that Moses made a tabernacle of meeting, all right, outside the camp. All right, so if you wanted to go inquire of the Lord, you would leave the camp of Israel and you go out to this tent and you meet with God. All right, but the Bible says this, but when Moses went out, the pillar of cloud came down and stood in front of the tent. All right, so you got the presence of God, all right, in the pillar of the cloud, that's what it represents, coming down, standing in front of the tent. When Moses was done, the pillar of cloud would go back up and Moses would return to the camp. But when Moses returned, he returned and his face was glowing. You know your Bible says that in the New Testament? He returned and his face was glowing so much with the glory of God that the people couldn't even look steadily at his face. And then these mountaintop experiences, all right, it was always only Moses going up. Let me take that. There's a few times where God said, all right, I want you to bring some of the leaders of Israel up, but they can only come halfway. Moses, he can come all the way. He had what I like to call an inside, I guess, with God. And I wonder how many of us today, we know that feeling all too well. Somebody else having the inside with the person that you want to have an inside with. Right? I mean, come on, I think that if we're all honest today, many of us could say that, you know what, if I'm honest, there's been times on my job where I've thought to myself, man, I wish I had an inside with my boss, like my fellow employees. If I could just get on the inside, you know, that's where I want to be. That's where I'd be satisfied. That's where I'd be fulfilled. That's where life would be happening. Maybe you're today you're here and you're going to college and you're there at college and you see a group of people, or I guess we around here we call them cliques or whatever. I don't know what. All right, so man, if I could just get on the inside, if we're not careful, we can really become men pleasers, you know, and we're trying to get in on the inside, but we just can't. I don't know, maybe it's a little bit more serious than that. And today, you have family that you could wish, that you wish you could be a little bit closer to, a little bit tighter with. I wish mom loved me like he loves my brother, like he loves my sister. I wish I could get on the inside. I remember one time my wife, she, why are you laughing? All right, so, because you were here last week, and she wasn't, and she already hit me up about that. I listened to your message. You think you're going to get away with that? No, she didn't do that. I'm making stuff up. All right, so, but anyways, all right, so my wife, she was with this other person, and this other person, anybody here ever gotten what we call a backhanded compliment? You know, all of a sudden the person starts out and you can tell they're trying to be nice. Well, at least they look like they're trying to be nice. You never know, all right? But they're trying to be nice, and they all of a sudden they come along and they try to compliment you, and then you're like, after you think about what they said, you're like. So this person tells my wife, all right, starts off kind of nice, you know. I'm so glad that Joey found you. My wife's all. I know what she was thinking. She didn't have to tell me. She's thinking to herself, "Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad I found him too." Right? This is what the other lady says. She says, "I'm so glad that Joey found you. You know, because he was always going after girls that were way out of his league. But I'm so glad that he found you." I don't. She was like. Well, thank you. I'm glad I found it. And so, anyway, she came and she told me the story, right? And I remember how I felt when she told me the story. All right, I felt like, man, I'm not in with the, I don't know, with that other league. I've been walking around the whole time thinking that I was not pridefully. But I've been walking around the whole time. I thought I was cool. I thought. But apparently I wasn't on the inside. Are you guys getting the point? I wasn't cool enough. I didn't have I didn't look good enough. I didn't have it. And if we're not careful, we'll take that same identity, that same outlook of life into our relationship with God. And we'll this is what we'll do. Well, I'm not Pastor Joe. I'm not Pastor Jim. I'm not Moses. I never seen a burning bush. Pastor Joe, I live in San Bernardino. I've seen a lot of things burn, but God wasn't there. And God sent me here today to tell somebody, you can come if you want to. God sent me here today to let somebody know that, hey, you have an inside with God. That you can come if you want to. And maybe that statement doesn't make a lot of sense to you in this moment. And so let me explain to you fully then where I got it from and how this came about. I left my apartment buildings a few weeks ago on my way to church on a Sunday morning, early in the morning. And when I leave my apartment buildings, in order for me to get on the freeway, all right, I take a left-hand turn, and basically I'm facing the Moreno Valley Mountain. The backside of it, the tall side of it, okay? All right, it's not the greatest mountain. The biggest mountain is bigger than Mount Rubidoux, at least, all right? But on the backside, it's got some height to it. And so I make my left-hand turn. I'm there at the stoplight, and I'm facing this mountain. And I look, and I've told my wife before, I'm going to miss this apartment just because I like looking at the mountain, just because it's so pretty sometimes, especially when the sun's going down or the sun's coming up. Well, this morning, on this Sunday morning, there was some just awesome fog right at the, just sitting at the top of the mountain. You could see the whole mountain except for the top. And then it was almost like a picture perfect, you know, thing. And here these clouds are coming together. And right there at the peak, it's almost like there was this little hole where you could kind of almost see the top. And listen, it was beautiful. I know it was Moreno Valley, but it was beautiful. And it had my attention, and I was intrigued by it. And I was looking at that opening. I began to think to myself, man, wouldn't it be so cool if I was there with Moses? And there was a burning bush, and I climbed. I got to go meet with God. And before I could even finish the thought, God spoke to my heart and said, you can come if you want to. You can come if you want to. Joe, you have an inside with me. There's a spot reserved just for you, and it's got your name on it. You can come if you want to. You can come and you can hear my voice. You can come and you can experience my greatness and my glory and my love. You can come and let me reveal myself to you. You can come if you want to. And that's a word for somebody today that, hey, you know what? You can get to God if you want to. No, I'm not here to tell you today that, you know what? You can get with your boss one day. God's gonna work it out. You're gonna have an inside with your boss one day. You're gonna have inside with those cool people at school one day. You're gonna have inside with, no, you may never have an inside with nobody, but at least you got an inside with God. Hello? You can come if you want to. I love it so much because, you know, if you want to get theologically, correct and try to, well, where's this in the New Testament? How are you going to prove yourself with two or three verses? Come on, Pastor Joe. I love it so much when we see Jesus, he's walking with his disciples and some children. Some children try to approach Jesus, and the disciples are like, no, don't bother Jesus. And what does Jesus say? He says, don't forbid them, but let them come to me. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in John chapter 6, nobody who comes to me will I in any way cast out. I even love so much the story of Peter, and there he is on a boat, and it's a little bit stormy, and they see Jesus come walking on the water, and they're like, it's a ghost! Oh my God, it's a ghost! No, wait, it's Jesus! No, it's a ghost! No, it's Jesus! And Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, call out to me, and I will walk on the water. And what does Jesus say? Come, you can come if you want to. If you don't get anything else out of tonight, I just want you to simply get this, that you can come if you want to. And that's point number one today. You can come. You can approach. You have access to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. He's not reserved for Moses only, for Abraham only, for Isaac only, for Jacob only, for King David only. He's not reserved for Peter, James, and John only. He's not reserved for Paul the Apostle only. He's not reserved for Jude. Are you getting the point? Why did God pick these specific people? Because he wanted us to learn something from their story, but he no way wanted us to come to the conclusion that, that was for them only. No, you can come. You can have what they had. You can come if you want to. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse number 19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness You heard this last weekend. You heard Pastor Dan talk about boldness. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you, but there's, listen, I'm here to be honest and transparent with you. There's some people I get around even here at this place, and I get a little bit nervous. I get a little bit, can I be honest? I get a little bit intimidated. You might be saying that, I don't get intimidated. I don't care who I'm around. Well, that attitude ain't going to help you with God either. But I can't take that same kind of approach when it comes to God. Let me come boldly. Let me come without fear. Let me come without reproach, without fault finding. It says here, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. That is the deepest place you can go, the holiest. That is the furthest you can go. That is the weightiest. That word holiest is speaking of literally the weightiest place that you can go. The Bible refers to it later on and as the presence behind the veil. Anyway, I don't have time to talk about that, but the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You can come if you want to. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne. To the throne. Not to the mountain. To the throne. You get in the picture? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly. One more. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. I love it so much. This hope! Do you know God wants you to live with hope? He wants to fill your heart with so much hope, you just can't hold it back. You just walk around just kind of giggly, kind of goofy, kind of cheesy. It's okay to be cheesy if it's God that's working in you. I get cheesy all the time, especially in front of the youth. And I used to leave those services thinking, oh, my God, what did I do? And then I read a verse in Corinthians, and Paul says, you know, if we are beside ourselves, it is for your sake. If we are of sound mind, it's for God's sake. And in other words, Paul got a little bit out of himself too. If that's what I got to do to keep your attention, if that's what I got to do, I don't care. I'm going to cheese your way all the way to heaven. Cheese you all the way to heaven. You know what I'm saying? But this is what it says. It says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. The hope that God brings when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, both sure and steadfast, and watch this, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The very things of God will naturally lead you into his presence. So you can come if you want to. Point number two today, if you're taking notes, I got to go quickly. Are you ready? Are you ready to come? I remember when I was in my car and God spoke that to my heart, it was so real to me that I kind of got shocked. And I thought to myself, God, if you want me to, I'll park right here and I'll start climbing the mountain right now. Like when God speaks to you, it just kind of gets a hold of your whole being and just kind of like, I was like, I know I got to be at church in 15 minutes, but I don't care. I'll climb that Moval mountain like you have never seen somebody climb them up because I'm trying to get to God. Hello! And in that moment, it was so real to me. I felt like, God, do you want me to climb the mountain? But there was this other part of me that was kind of like, can we just be honest? Holy crap. There's no such thing. But anyways, I'm talking about, because see, I know enough to know that being in that place, that ain't no joke. Oh no, it's a place of love. It's a place of joy. It's all that. But like those other men that we talked about briefly earlier, when they really got into the glory of God, their whole selves were exposed, spirit, soul, and body. everything that you thought. See, we can walk around here, we can act like we got all the swagger in the world, like we got it going on, you know. But if somebody could see some of the thoughts that go through your mind, you'd be running, you wouldn't even come to church. You know it's true. Because I wouldn't come either. What I'm trying to say to you is that when you begin to come before a deeper presence of God, you will realize that you're exposed. You know, the Bible says that all things are naked and open to his sight. And that's one of the things that makes, you know, when we stand before God one day, you ain't going to be able to hide nothing. And if you try to deny it, he's going to play a video for you. Remember this? Yeah, you do. And so are you ready? Are you ready today? Now, listen, I'm not saying to you that you have to be perfect to come before God. What I am saying to you is, are you ready? How else can I say this quickly? Remember we said that Israel, they knew God's acts, but Moses knew his ways. And a surface level understanding would lead you to believe that Moses had an insight with God that the children of Israel did not have. But if you really take a closer look at the whole story, you'll find that God offered to Israel the same thing he offered to Moses. But when God came down on the mountain in all of his glory, you know what the Bible says about Israel? That they drew back. That they were greatly afraid. In fact, even Moses was afraid, but he went near the thick darkness. But they were so afraid that they drew back. And it's interesting because just before that moment came, you know what Moses tells the people? I want you to go these next 3 days, two days, because on the third day, God's coming down on the mountain. These next 2 days, I want you to go, and I want you to consecrate yourselves. And I want you to wash yourselves. I think that you're all smart enough to know that sin will hold you back. Sin in your life will hold you back. That sin will entangle you. And I sit in my car, and God spoke that to me, and I thought, holy crap, I've been complaining lately. This is not going to work. God, give me time out. How about tomorrow? I could come if I want to, right? Tomorrow? Tomorrow, I'll give my life tomorrow. Because, are you getting the point? Sin will hold you back. You know, you'll come to church, and we'll start singing these songs, and different things will take place, and you know you want to come, but you know what's going on the inside, and you back off. It has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with you, and the same thing held them back. So are you ready? And the last thing I would say to you about this point is in Exodus chapter 3, verses, let me read to you again, verse number 2 through 4. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 2 through 4. So are you ready? Because God's presence is an awesome thing. And then in verses 2 through 4, Exodus chapter 3, this is what it says. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. All right? And notice that it says, and an angel of the Lord, angels capitalized, it's representing, all right, it was Jesus. All right? So then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called. Moses was tending to a flock of sheep. Moses had a job. Moses had responsibilities. Moses needed to make some money so he could feed himself, his wife, and his kids. He was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And last time I checked up in my shepherding book, you don't just leave sheep at the bottom of a mountain while you decide to take a hike, right? But the Bible says that he turned aside. So this point number two, are you ready? I guess what I'm saying is, are you ready to turn aside? Are you ready to leave your daily tasks and your daily routines and your daily hobbies and all this stuff you got going on to go ahead and climb the mountain, to go ahead and pursue the burning bush, to go ahead and take your rightful place in God's presence? Are you willing? Because, see, we could pack our schedules 24/7 from the time we wake to the time that we sleep, and we never end up coming. Are you ready, in other words, to relinquish the entanglements of life to get with God? Are you ready to lose a little bit of sleep?
Are you? How about you give up a meal? Oh my God. You mean like Fastmaster Joe? Yeah. Are you ready? All right, are you ready? You can come if you want to. Point number two is, are you ready? And finally, we'll close with this. Tonight, where's your want to at? Because the last thing I realized when God spoke to me is, hey, I got to have a want to. I have access. That's not a question, but where's my want to? Where's my want to? Doctors, and I think y'all are old enough to know this. You probably don't need a doctor to tell you, but when a person gets sick, what's the first thing to go? Their appetite. A person's appetite, right? Right? And when you don't have an appetite, you're really not as healthy as you can be. And this want to, or this hunger for God, it's the same spiritually. If today you don't have a want to, you're not as healthy as you could be. See, a healthy Christian has this want to, has this thirst that drives them to get refilled by God again and again and again. Not because they're thirsty, but because they know that if they don't keep on being satisfied, then they'll get thirsty. So this is what it means to be a healthy Christian, that we have a want to. So where's your want to tonight? Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what Jesus says to Christians. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is not written to unbelievers. This is written to Christians. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I heard a person say it this way once. If you'll open up the door, Christ will come in and rekindle your passion for him there at the table of the Lord. See, you can come if you want to. You can come to the table if you want to. You can open up the door of your heart if you want to. And you can have all of God that you want to. So I guess what I'm saying today is, don't leave Jesus on the outside. Start bringing Jesus into your life. Start bringing Jesus into your decisions. Start bringing Jesus into your daily routine. And before you know it, you'll find your want to has come back. And that's when you start to get a little bit more healthy. And ooh, the devil better watch out, because you're going to kick some booty. Don't leave him on the outside. Pastor Joe, I haven't had a burning bush experience, so are you sure that God wants me to come? Yeah, I'm sure. And again, if you'll just take whatever opportunity you can, he'll come in and he'll rekindle your passion for him. He'll feed you at the table of the Lord. And so I know it's late and I'm supposed to finish and all this kind of stuff, but I really did. I wanted to give everybody here an opportunity to come to the altar. Elijah's going to sing a song. Can only sing it one time through, I guess, because of time.